Right. Starting in one. No, three. Anyway, welcome to episode 162 of the ADHD Adults Podcast. I'm James Bryan, the man who was removed from a traditional school, not because I was excluded, but because I'm a Dracula. And I'm joined by Professor Alex Connor, who had a lot of friends at school. We even used to give him food at lunchtime. They were dinner ladies, really. They didn't like him. And Mrs. ADHD, who claims to have gone to school in Stoke-on-Trent and yet studied Latin and did ballet. Something's clearly not right there, is it?
Flat-footed.
Alex, hi.
Hi, school. High school.
Good one.
Yeah, I don't know if that's an economy thing, trying to recycle the joke from
Higher education.
Yeah.
A few episodes ago, I thought you wouldn't notice.
Yeah, equally bad. How are you both, Mrs. ADHD first?
I'm tired and hungry. How are you?
Yep. And Alex, I suppose.
I'm excellent. Thank you both. Yeah, happy to be here. I've had a text from the numbers intern. Tells me that so many people listen to our podcast, we've single-handedly reduced the number of times you'll hear "I like podcast" in the Western Hemisphere. Which is really nice to hear. It's good to maybe make an impact. What, one of whom has sent us a letter?
One of whom? What?
Yeah, I don't know. Grammar doesn't work, does it? Anywho, it's from, I'm just going to check by reading paper. It's from, Robert from Kidderminster. It says here, James. The letter reads, I listened to your episode on motivation. And James was always very motivated to go out in the world. Because of his ADHD, not in spite of it. It's good to know that it's a superpower. As he always said, drugs don't buy themselves. That's a fair point, Robert. It is a superpower, after all. It's all about finding the motivation, isn't it? I've had a real letter. Can I read it out?
No.
It's from a John Hart. No, John Hart. It says, hey, you three legends, oblique amigos, oblique musketeers. Finally got my diagnosis of combined ADHD last week after 18 months waiting. Went through Right to Choose and Psychiatry Care after listening to episode one of your podcast. And so glad I did. You not only inspired me to push for a diagnosis, you're helping me every week feel connected. And you've been a virtual holding hand for this process. You've also inspired me to set up my own podcast, The Neurodivergent Musician, at John Hart. And that's without an H in the first John. J-O-N, johnhartmusic.com, /podcast, which...
Are we doing red ads now?
I am for this. I wouldn't if it was like, you know, Betfair Fred or whatever.
Betfair.
I wouldn't, Fred. Unless, and I want to make this really clear, they gave me some money of any denomination. I do ads for Johnny Walker, black label him. You gave me £8. You a shit. John Hart Music /podcast, which I'm in the episode 40 mark. No idea how it says not in the letter, but I'm sure it can't mean that. No idea how I've kept it going as it's so low, and there are times when I just want to give up. But there's something about doing every week, and if I miss one, then I feel shit. I think you bringing out a new episode helps with this. You're fucking legends, and I can't wait to meet you in person one day and shake all of your hands.
Oh, no thanks.
Could be a threat. Thanks so much. Big love. John, heart, purple person emoji. I still say emoticons in my head. Stop myself saying emoticons.
Thank you, John. But don't shake my hand. I hate shaking hands.
Oh, I like it. Purple person, what? It's...
Oh, anyway. Is it? I haven't got my
just
glasses.
Just a heart,
what
and it's
it?
Namaste. Yeah, namaste.
Yeah.
Or high five.
This is incredibly informative for people listening. I've chatted to John before, actually. He's lovely. And his guitar playing makes me feel like I actually don't have fingers or guitars that work properly because he's been
guitar. Don't play anymore.
No. It's definitely the guitars. As usual, Tarquin, the metrics intern, has stepped off Sam's dad's Learjet for a second to give me some information about another city we've got listeners in, except he hasn't. He just wants me to try and repeat the same one from last week when we suggested that North Carolina was famous for inventing Wi-Fi by accidentally microwaving a potato with the spoon. Fucking ridiculous. What does he mean? How Would you test that? You wouldn't have a device if they hadn't even... It's so annoying. Tarquin has also informed us that Bath in the UK, or Bath, soz, where we confusingly have 0% of our listeners, is where the unique sex act of a bath blessing was first invented. It started off with splashing a small amount of spa water on someone's face. It went downhill from there, let's be honest.
Oh, the confusion on Sam's face is delicious. Anyway, as usual, this neurodivergent person who attacks other neurodivergent people online, despite knowing that they're neurodivergent and probably have RSD whilst having the appearance of a haunted gargoyle of a podcast, is a tragedy in three parts. We choose a theme. Last time around was about ADHD and motivation. And this week we're going to be discussing ADHD and school education as the second part of a double fister from when we did higher education at some point in the past. I can't remember. As usual, the three parts include the ... because I didn't put it in. Evidence, this is all wrong. Alex the psycho, education monkey, hello, talking about the theme. Fuck, I missed that one. In part two, we give our personal reflections and tips on school education, hefty tips. And then we'll answer some questions in the final section. So,
Alex, what's that called? What's that? You said you guaranteed you'd come back with those things that people had said we should call the last section.
Don't believe in anything I guarantee. It's not trustworthy, is it? So, Alex, tell us about education in ADHD.
It's flawless on your bit of the script, that is, isn't it? Be very proud. Look at the hat as well. Look at it.
I didn't notice it.
Well, that's because you don't generally look at me. For those that aren't watching on the medium of video, my hair is now so long it's unmanageable. And I bought this hat to annoy Sam because I thought it's a very bad hat. And she doesn't like my other hat. And then when I put it on, she just went, no, it's all right.
Wearing that hat is more proof than I've ever seen that you're a Dracula who can't see himself in the mirror. No question about that. Yeah, that's true. Why can you never? You don't see like just a cape.
Clothes go visible.
I know something doesn't add up there.
Makes sense. No,
no, it doesn't. Righto. Here, starting with the headline: ADHD is associated with lower school performance substantially, and that is independent of your socioeconomic background factors.
You've started with ADHD. You've started with it. That's deliberate, clearly.
It probably isn't surprising that the not being able to pay attention in a normal way in an environment where we are kind of having to sit there and listen isn't a great thing, you know, it isn't great for us. The main effects of ADHD on achievement, not happiness in school, but, you know, measures of achievement, exam results, performance, that kind of thing, on achievement, are predominantly because of the inattentive symptoms of ADHD. That's probably obvious. Staying on task is pretty much what you're asked to do, right? At school, the whole thing. And add to that the nightmare of being young in general and the emotions and puberty and awfulness. Horrible. And then with emotional dysregulation in the mix, hyperactivity, impulsivity. It's high school is simply awful. Arguably primary school more geared towards an ADHD personality, but definitely not a universal experience. Quick, boring list klaxon. We, collectively, untreated, unsupported as children with ADHD, would have faced having lower scores on reading tests, lower scores on maths, or math, if you're from North Carolina, lower average marks in general. So Americans call this the grade point average, or GPA, which I like. We're more likely to have to repeat a year or a grade, howdy. More likely to face being placed into special education classes. The shame of when I was a kid, when they made me go out of the class where my friends were into the lower class for English and French, I was mortified. And I didn't even know we'd had an exam because I wasn't obviously paying attention. Adolescents with ADHD fail more exams. We perform worse on standardized academic achievement tests than intellectually matched controls. This is not a question of ability. It's a question of performance in the current system. We are less likely to enter HE, as we discussed in our university episode.
And is this the same for people who are treated or are not treated?
So yeah, when children being spotted and treated, and as we know, that's far more likely to happen to young boys. So, yes and no. That's the second ambiguous headline. Treatment with ADHD medication for 3 months was positively associated with all primary outcomes of high school, but it didn't come back to the same level as their matched peers of the people with the same intelligence. These stats are from this massive study of Swedish origin, where they looked at, get this, more than 500,000 students and looked at their levels. That's how they could find loads of different matches. Amazing. So it depends on the ADHD level you have.
I do like a lot of the Swedish studies, because they tend to get the whole population involved in studies, literally the whole country's population, which means you get a lot of good data. So are we all, you know, obviously we're kind of diverse, but are we all affected in the same way and to the same degree?
It's another really good question. Depends on the school, annoyingly. So not just, and it depends on your own ADHD level. There's another quite big study from last year of 24,000 students from over 2,500 schools. So these are really good. That's the thing about looking at it. I know it's about your high school education and we're all adults with ADHD, so we have to think back. But a lot of the research is done on children and adolescents more than adults. So schools with higher achievements in general, the people with ADHD in those schools had fewer negative outcomes because of their ADHD, but that was because of the students themselves having families and coping strategies rather than the school doing anything. In fact, schools that had those high achievers didn't make a big difference to those students. They had to do it themselves. Schools make more than four times the difference in achievements of students when they've got really high levels of ADHD on top of that. So if you're relatively high achieving, the school isn't going to be helping you. If you haven't got massively high levels of ADHD, you're not going to get a lot of help. So really, it's the people where they're really struggling where you could see big differences. But actually, school life for most of us wasn't massively helped, even with diagnosis, achievement. And all of this is about achievement. And achievement at school is not the same as being mentally healthy and well.
So obviously, research, by definition, is the past, isn't it, really?
It is the past.
It is, yes, the past. So
it's happened.
Not that you're allowed to spend time near schools, but are they doing enough now? We had Nout, obviously, back in the 17th century, but also, you know, the 1980s. Yeah. There was literally nothing in terms of support. What about schools now?
I find it even hard thinking back to you and thinking, well, imagine the idea of support, of someone coming up to me and go, you're clearly not well. You know, what's going on, Alex? I can't even imagine what that must be like. Mm. I need to have any. But we know that some schools are amazing. Some are. But no, they're not. Obviously not doing enough. And they are absolutely hamstrung by chronic underfunding and people voting like they've never read a newspaper in their life. It's shocking. I mean, look at some of the data from the mental health charity Mind. They say that 3 out of 5 young people received no support from their school for their mental health problems. And half of young people had been disciplined at school for behaviour that was directly related to their mental health.
Wow. So what could we, not we, but what could we, obviously not we, but what could we do about it, or could have done about it back in the day
if we could. Asked question. Let's listen and learn, Sam. Why can't you ask questions like, you've gone, haven't you? You went a while ago. When did you notice you were out of the room, or did you?
Well, I just looked at the script and thought, I'm not in this for ages, so I'll just do some emails for charity because I need to catch up.
Beautiful. What we need to do is other educational interventions that bridge the gap, the substantial performance or achievement gap that between students who have ADHD and students that don't. Treatment alone is not enough, medication treatment. People don't take medication for lots of reasons, and those reasons are, and I can't say this highly enough, none of our fucking business. People don't take the medication. That's how it is. So we need more options than medication, even for those who are on medication as well as instead of.
So what can schools do?
Well, that's it, isn't it? It's work with the mental health support teams that are there, CAMHS. I know about the funding. We all know it's horrific out there, but get access to diagnosis, treatment, medication treatment, but also CBT, talking therapy, whatever. On top of that, an understanding of ADHD for students, but staff as well, would be really, really helpful. Looking at boring list plaques on practical things you can do, there is evidence of effectiveness for a few interventions, like having school rules clearly explained. Have those rules explained in different ways. So a child reading that, you know, a sheet that you can keep in your bag and you can check and go, okay, I've got it. We don't remember stuff. We don't always know why. Mm. Being very clear on the difference between those rules that have got a good reason, like don't set off the firearms because it affects people negatively, and rules that don't have a good reason, like make sure your skirt length is 1 centimeter, you know, fuck off. Think of, you've got to be a bit more inclusive than that. If we don't understand the value of the rules, we're unlikely to do them biologically, not just behaviourally. The difficulty is when you don't know whether it's a rule because it hurts people or not. And what do you mean by hurt? Of course, it isn't always a right or wrong situation. Like the pros and cons of having a uniform in general, I don't like uniforms, but I can see why you can, from financial, socioeconomic, psychological reasons. There's some really good reasons for them.
So obviously, I went to school. What are you laughing
at? I was laughing because I forgot to tell you that I wanted you to throw in a thought then, and meant to write the actual thought in the script and just put James could throw in a thought without thinking it. No.
Yeah, and I've just been thinking for the last 2 minutes about what I'm going to throw in.
sorry about that.
I went to a really shit school. It's now called a community college, which isn't a good term for schools in the UK. It was a failing school back then, and it was a different time, obviously. But the rules that really, thinking back, weren't neurodivergent friendly, and I hated, were if you forgot stuff. So if you forgot your PE kit, for example, have to do it in your pants. You'd have to run around in your pants playing sport.
Yeah, if
you forgot your textbook, or if you forgot what was the three things you had for maths, the compass,
like half a roundy.
Yeah,
do you remember that?
Yeah, if you forgot those things, we wouldn't be lent them. You wouldn't be allowed to engage in that activity. So rules around remembering to bring stuff in completely excluded me from doing stuff and made me run around in my pants.
Yeah, I mean, doing exercise in your pants is one of life's pleasures now, but back then, mortifying. Community college, James, wasn't that a Romanian castle you're just trying to describe with all the thunder and lightning on it?
Pretty much.
So we really don't need rules that are like that. They're not helpful. They're not helpful because we don't forget these things on purpose. When we do impulsive things, we understand that you can't be, you know, disruptive as much as certain we can be. But even when there are consequences, those consequences have to be immediate and relevant. You can't say, oh, well, you'll have that problem. You know, you won't be able to go to the summer thing. It's unbelievable. Anything kind of punishment for ADHD, like traits as well, they can get in the bin. You can't punish us for being distracted or forgetting your pattern. Aggression and violence are not ADHD traits. We're not saying that. They're not. That's not what ADHD is. We don't allow our mind to wander, though. That's not a choice, you know. Mind wandering isn't because, could you please be interested, Alex, if you just pay attention. I used to think I was such a twat for not being able to. I couldn't, though, and we didn't know. Listening to music whilst everybody else, you know, while I'm doing quiet work, that is me doing quiet work because silence is loud for me, and that's not everybody with ADHD, but, you know, we have to be more flexible. Instead of thinking about consequences and punishment, incentives, short-term incentives work better. And this is evidence-based, repeated reminders that those incentives exist, especially in the short term. Jam tomorrow is not an incentive when you don't really sense that there is a tomorrow. And put incentives on. This works. This is true of me in life now as well. Put incentives on rotation if you can. Change it up a bit. Make sure there is positive and public, relatively public, reinforcement of the positive behaviors you do. Alex did well is not a bad thing to say. Everyone needs to hear that. I never have, but, you know, fingers crossed. So give people tokens and tables and praise and support. And working with students with ADHD to self-author their own behavior. We do want to understand the structure. We do want our behaviour to be within the confines of what people like. If you enforce structure on us, that is not a long-term solution. That's why we often go crazy after we leave school, because that structure breaks down.
So what can we do for today's children?
Literally today, or do you mean like
Zygarde? I don't know, you wrote it. Just
I'm baffled. Let me do my emails. What an excellent question, Sam. So professionally asked, James, it's not hard. Look at that hat.
Not at the minute.
It reminds me exactly of Citizen Smith and Nobody Else. There are, to answer your question, Sam, there are plenty of accommodations that we can do to help. Whether you're a parent or a supporter or just someone in society that gives a shit, the main thing from an adult ADHD perspective is to advocate for the next generation. Advocate wherever you can, wherever you've got a voice, really. That's it. Try and look back with a positive lens, though, if you can. It can be pretty bitter. It is. I mean, I can sometimes dwell and think that poor little shit, you know, why was he treated like that? And it's not helpful. It doesn't, that is not the right approach. It should be, what could I have done for Alex? You know, he was trying his best, bless his little pathetic socks. So what, how can you advocate for yourself as a student then when you're overdwelling, but also for society now without bitterness? It's really alluring to be angry about it, but it doesn't help. In making a solution we can work towards, it just doesn't. So that's what we can do, is we can say we all need support at school. We need to look for these things. That's it. That's high school, that absolute fucking nightmare.
And vote again, as you said.
Yeah, vote properly. That bastard.
Political wear and Citizen Smith's hat. We're going to take a break and we'll be back in part two for personal reflections and tips in a bit.
We don't know.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Alex, hi.
Aight. What's up?
Hello, Governor.
Welcome back to episode 162 of the ADHD Adults Podcast, where we are talking about ADHD and high school education. In this part, we talk about our personal reflections and tips for who? Adults that are going back to high school? I don't know. James, you go first on the script.
Absolutely flawless. James, go!
Thank you.
I didn't enjoy school at all. I was a massive people pleaser. Therefore,
I did not think that was the phrase you were going to say.
I would say hats off, but I'm not taking this hat off.
Were you wearing the hat? Is that why you weren't popular at school?
No, but I did have very curly hair that was like a cloud that sat on top of my head, awful and embarrassing.
I once took a combination briefcase with me to a rough comprehension because I'd seen it on the telly. Fucking hell, imagine that was a mistake.
So I got into trouble a lot, not because I was a troublemaker, but because I had friends that liked to get into trouble and I desperately wanted to be liked. So I remember getting caught throwing yogurt up a neighbor's window. Why would you do that? But they like, let me do that. And they ran away, but I walked, and then I got caught, and my mum punched me in the face. She got very angry because the neighbour actually lived four doors down from my house.
And she really wanted that yogurt.
She did. So when I think back to school, I haven't got a lot of memories about it. They're not enjoyable. I didn't really like it. But when I think about the educational experience as opposed to the people-pleasing and the self-loathing and all that shit, I obviously, I've talked about this before, I always liked biology. I enjoyed it and I did really good at it. But the people-pleasing... it impacted my choices. I chose to do GCSE commerce and GCSE geography because, again, my mates were doing those GCSEs because they were seen as being easier, like slacker choices.
Wow.
And it was the GCSE commerce lesson where I agreed stupidly to get the record for getting kicked out of the class quickest. So I walked in and immediately said, fuck off, Mr. Whatever. And he said, aye, but it was 7 seconds and everyone was cheering. But it was a stupid, stupid thing to do. But again, it was
that was worth it.
It was worth it, totally, yeah. So I was just suddenly thinking about, we also used to, it was a classroom with typewriters and wheeled chairs, and when the teacher was writing on the board, we'd have a competition to see who could wheel down closest to the front. And then wheel back. But then there was a complete bastard in the class that would put his legs out and stop you from getting back to your desk. Anyway.
Was it you?
No, it wasn't. Those are the only two GCSEs I got D's in. I didn't get great GCSEs, but it was because I was fucking around trying to people please. I didn't like the subjects as well. I didn't pick subjects that I found rewarding, and I wouldn't have done well even if I wasn't fucking around, to be fair. I used to hide bad school reports from my parents, who I wouldn't say they were disengaged with my education, but I they weren't the typical attend school teacher evenings, I forgot what they're called, and really care that much about my school reports. And the ones that I didn't hide would generally say the typical things: if James is clever but needs to knuckle down, or needs to pay attention, all that kind of bollocks. It's difficult, as Sam said, when it comes to tips ding, because I think this episode isn't just for adults reflecting back on their experiences. It's for people who are adults with ADHD and may have children with ADHD. It's for people who work in education. It's for people who care about the education of children who are neurodivergent. And this might sound like an odd tip, but it's for anybody that's involved. I thought, I was 50-50 on that, but I'll take it, ding. This is a tip for anybody that's involved, if you like, in the SEN kind of school side of ADHD assessments. And I cannot state this more clearly. There are more than two fucking domains to a child's life. So stop blocking access to an assessment by saying they seem fine at school.
Yeah, with the clear structure.
Exactly. This is
lots of small rewards. Oh, shit.
When I chatted to our friend Nick Richford about this, and I was saying, well, you know, is it just the two domains? He said, of course there isn't. There's sleep, there's self-care, there's socialization, there's hygiene, there's home life, there's relationships, there's school, all these domains of a child's life. But when it comes to assessment for ADHD, it's pretty much, what are they like at home? What are they like at school? And in that structured environment, particularly if they're female and they're not being hyperactive and disruptive, they get a report that says, well, no, they turn up and they behave, and therefore they don't get a fucking diagnosis. So that is the tip. If you work in that area, you know, just try and take into account the fact that in that environment, there's a lot of masking going on, and the boys and girls present with their ADHD differently. Try and accept the fact that you're not just looking for somebody that's running around, you know, would then knob out with a face drawn on it.
I've apologized for that.
It's something that a guy called Wayne did when I was at school. Anyway, Sam, your reflections and tips.
I'm really hoping you say, I didn't go to school.
No, I did. I did go sometimes. I was, obviously I was beaten at first, but that was when I was young.
Yeah.
Well, I've talked about it before, I think, maybe. Yeah, I don't know.
It was nuns.
Yeah, I was beaten because I couldn't run around and do things that all the little boys did. So I was beaten. But then after that, it was good. I actually went to a good a school that... I'm sorry, I'm stopping myself from getting bogged down in too much detail because I'm going to tell you everything about my school and I shouldn't. It was good. I loved school. I loved the structure. I didn't have a lot of structure at home. I did at school and I loved that. I loved learning. I always have done. I loved the fact that I had a uniform, so I wore the same thing every day. I had school dinners. I knew what I was going to do every day. So my days were easy when I was at school. I was mostly good at lessons. The only times really, I was very quiet and shy, like you were saying. I'd blush when anybody looked at me or spoke to me. And I was in my reports would say that I was a daydreamer because I'd retreated into myself at this point and disassociated a lot just to cope, mostly probably because of my autism, but also because I didn't want to get beaten again. So I was really conscious that I needed to hide all of the hyperactivity and all of that. And I should mask a lot so that I didn't get hit. I wasn't like you, James. I wasn't really affected by peer pressure. I wasn't really bothered by that. And I was only really disruptive if ever we had a supply teacher. And I realise now that that's probably because I couldn't cope with this change in routine. I really couldn't. Yeah, so I was pretty good until I went to college. I was fine. When I went to college, where I had to choose my own clothes and we went at different times and I couldn't walk there, I had to make my own way there and I didn't know what was going to happen every day, and you could eat whatever you want. And yeah, I struggled then. But school, I was pretty all right. I quite enjoyed it, actually, and was outwardly good. So nobody would have spotted there was anything wrong with me. The tips, well, maybe, I don't know. I was very quiet, so not many people, yeah. I preferred the teachers, really. I really liked the teachers and chatted to them. I always preferred chatting to adults than children, but anyway. Yeah, if the tips are for people that are teaching in schools, I think just do things in a different, I think any accommodations that you make for people who are neurodivergent just benefit everybody because it makes it more interesting than for everybody. And if you make the subject interesting, then people might pay attention and might be able to enjoy it. James?
Is there an argument that the national curriculum is not neurodivergent friendly? Because having a set number of subjects, for example, is the national curriculum still a thing? I don't know. But
how dare you suggest rote learning, a series of facts made up by Eton kids, might not be the most neurodivergent friendly thing you've ever heard.
Everyone, most adults.
Friendly for anybody, is it?
No, it's not. But I think it's particularly unfriendly for the neurodivergent people. When you think, as adults, you'll often hear people saying, "Oh, I'm glad I learned how to calculate or remember pi to the nth." Remember, it's just three if you live in whatever city. And we talked about recently, but I don't know how to manage my finances. If you think about some of the subjects that are theoretically like core and you have to take them, obviously with ADHD, reward allows us to engage and have the motivation to engage with subjects. So actually being forced to study some subjects, and obviously, English and arithmetic, as they used to say in my day, are important skills. But in the modern world, are there other ways, or should there be other ways in which you can actually allow children to follow that reward and that interest within an educationalist or pedagogical framework? So is it this kind of top down, you've got to teach these things? Is that the problem?
I honestly think it's about how it's taught as well. I think
definitely.
It's okay to teach maths.
I did best at were the ones that I liked the teachers.
Yeah, and that's not universal, but it is accessible way.
Yeah. But also, I would have loved when I was at school if I'd had just been able to have a little break to just move around and jiggle around, or had a space to go to when I got overwhelmed that I could just be on my own. That would be, if there were alternatives to team sports, so I could still move around and still get fit, but not have to play in a team with other people and stuff. I don't like being with other people. Alex.
Yeah, I shouldn't laugh at that, but I did.
It's a really tricky one, isn't it? Because there's also the question of, do we need remedial support for people who are autistic to be in study? I'm asking. This is not me telling. I promise. This is definitely not. This is me asking. Yeah. Well, fuck it. We don't need that. Why do we? Why do we have to force everyone into the wrong peg when we don't need to be pegging all the time? I often wonder that myself. I think we've internalized that stigma of, oh god, no, we have to teach autistic kids to be in big groups. We have to, because they'll be in real life. Why do we have to?
They won't be in real life if they don't want to be.
Not happily, some of them. I mean, that's it, isn't it? Why? Why?
Well, some will. We're all different. And that's the thing. We're all so different. And everybody is so different. Whether you're neurodivergent or not, we're all really different. So there just needs to be a bit more flexibility, I think, so that everybody can enjoy it and everybody can benefit. Fuck whether that I'm neurodivergent or not. Should it? It should be enjoyable.
Think?
Yeah.
I agree. Yeah. It's why, yeah. No, absolutely not.
Alex, you next.
Same, really. Primary school was great. It felt ADHD friendly to me. I don't know if it's everyone else, but it felt interactive, lots of breaks. I was allowed to choose what I wanted to read. You know, that for me was quite a big deal. I remember the shame of not reading the books later on. And I was reading other books, well, colouring them in anyway. And then at nine, I had to go to bigger school.
My God, I've just remembered something.
And we... Oh, it's a good job you internalize your thoughts, though. So, are you bored? do you want me to carry
just
on?
Just present it in a different way, Alex. Okay. Yeah, that's
accessible. Like everyone, school is then, or for me, it wasn't interactive. It wasn't fun. It was awful. It was horrible. I was sad. I felt tortured by the clock, by the boredom. I was just... dreadfully alone. Literally, I didn't have any friends. I didn't like it. They just talked. It was felt like torture, sitting still. I was the first person at nine, James, to get a detention in the entire year for telling Nicholas Winston to fuck off, essentially. I remember a friend of mine who I won't say his name because he doesn't know about any of this, really. Craig, his real name's Craig. He is still a good friend. He said, he still laughs. He says, and I used to tell you what to do, come up with the thing, and then you'd do it. And he couldn't, and I was always getting into trouble, just all like, not bad, just cheeky, you know. And if he thought it was funny, but he wouldn't dream of doing it, very neurodivergent, I mean, non-neurodivergent type behavior. But he knew someone who would impulsively just do the thing. You know, scale a building or throw something, or, you know, just something impulsive and stupid. I remember I was 10, I think, and I remember thinking, new kid came in. His name was Chris. Oh, there's a new kid coming in. And I remember thinking, I wonder if he's like me, one of me, or is he just like everybody else? And I didn't know what I meant. I remember thinking it vividly, and I didn't know what I meant. You know, like, different. And Well, I obviously know now, but I didn't know then. And that's horrible. It's horrible, I think. It's really uncomfortable. So the tip is for that kid, really, and anybody who's got any interest in any children that are going to school, you've got kids, nephews, nieces, or just interested in looking after our kids. It's ask them. You know any high school kids, ask them. Check for quiet. Look for sad. Ask a question, how do you feel in those most lessons? Don't be fobbed off by, oh, well, I like drama. Of course you fucking do. Running around, don't you? You know, look, if they're clever and they like science, but they don't like science lessons, something's disconnected. And that's what it was like for me. I was miserable listening to a thing I loved. And why? How can that be? Just check. And teachers as well, please, please check. How do you feel in lessons? They might not know, I didn't, that it wasn't, it's not supposed to be torture. Well, the kids aren't. I assumed everyone was feeling that, but they weren't. Please be open to reasonable adjustments, teachers, without a diagnosis. Like Bishop Veazey were, my son's school in Sutton Coldfield, who let him do stuff. It's just at the air, it's what was selective. You know, you have to take an exam at 11. And they said he could, you know, get up and leave sometimes just without saying anything to the teacher. And that's not, doesn't cost anyone anything, does it? But I can imagine a lot of people going, no, there's some reason I don't like that. And I don't, but it just felt, it felt human to me.
And I really, really hope there are people listening to this who work in brilliant schools like that who are saying, well, we don't do that. I genuinely hope that there are lots of people, because this is what we want to know. Often it's not what we hear. For the break, quick game, Al, quick game.
No, I haven't got time. I've just checked.
Believe we have. You're losing terribly in this season.
Is the answer to what you've lost your sense of style?
I've never had one, to be fair.
Because of the hat.
No, when I met Sam, she had to dress me. She had to say, no, buy clothes from this place. I think I had style, but apparently not. Anyway, It's about clothes. It's about socks, specifically, Al. Oh. I went to do a little talk in London. As we
Funny
were
little
earlier.
Talks, was he?
Yes, last night, and I got socks wrong. So did I pack, A, did I pack Sam's socks by mistake instead of mine?
Where were you giving the talk last night?
At a venue in London.
In London?
No, don't encourage him. Did I pack some sacks by mistake?
Some sacks instead of socks. Who are you, Dr. Fucking Zeus?
Did I pack?
We packed sacks.
Pack Sam's socks. Pack Sam's socks. Did I pack Sam's socks by mistake? And she has got big feet, but they're not as big as mine. Did I pack Sam's socks? A.
Pack Sam's socks.
B. What the fuck does that say?
This is flawless. Do you think ITV will pick this up for prime time?
Oh, did I cover the only pair of socks I had with me with mouthwash?
I don't think it's that one. I don't know why. Call me. You might have remembered if that's what happened. I just put in mouthwash.
Did I see drop the only pair of socks I had in a chogged toilet, as in a toilet that had been chogged in?
With what?
A poo, Alex. A chog is a poo.
Chogged poo.
Had I dropped socks into a chogged toilet?
Okay. This might sound like ableist language, but I don't think it's mouthwash because you're a fucking idiot. Probably that. Can't write. Don't want to, you know, use pejorative language. Don't want to be accused of that. But, I think you would have screamed more loudly and told me straight away if you'd put your socks in a chogged full of poo toilet. So I think you've got Sam's boat-like, but not as boat-like as yours. To London. That's what I think. I think semi-canoes.
I hold things, but I hold these things. You know, normally I do message you when I fuck. I have to hold some back for the
quiz. It isn't
the quiz.
Very socks.
It's mouthwash. But
no,
forgot.
And you forgot?
Yes, but I'd forgotten. So it looks like card only par until mankind. And I was trying
why
to
would you
what the hell
down
was that
if
mean?
It happened?
Because I always write the three things down. It's just, it's what I do. What
no,
happened
I,
was I put
you right. I know you always write them down, but you didn't yes. need to say what does it say because you knew because it.
No, but I didn't know. Look, that's my handwriting. It's not easy to read. It's terrible.
That is honestly an ADHD trait to not be able to go, actually, I don't need to worry about that because I know because yes, it happened exactly. yesterday. I could just say it.
Yeah. I put the socks in the sink, forgot, and then when I rinsed my mouth out, I spat the mouthwash over the socks, which was.
I've done that more than once with toothpaste and things in the sink, like many times, spat things onto the. Dirty clothes, that's definitely
maybe
ding.
Anyway, I think that's like 13-7. It's getting embarrassing now, mate.
I
up your
hate
game.
This.
We'll
it
we'll
like
take a break
at one point.
I know. We'll take a break and we'll be back with Angry Alex in part three where we're answering questions or something. I don't know. Yeah, we are.
Bye.
No.
Welcome back to episode 162, improbably of the ADHD Adults podcast, and we're talking as the second part of our double header, James, on education, about high school education. Or we were. It's probably finished now, unless we've been really corporate with the questions. Probably not. As always, in part three for the past three or four, I don't know, we're answering questions because we don't have to write anything for them. Question one, Sam, have you got something for us?
Yeah. Yes, I have. Hang on. It's from Steph, and it says, in September, I began titration after a late diagnosis. I'm 48. I'm 47, Steph, so we're quite close in age. Earlier this year, my psychiatrist recommended that I have some days off my meds. I was taking methylphenidate, slow release, so I took this advice at the time of discharge, but my emotional health just went to shit, resulting in me stopping the meds altogether a week ago. The last week has been hell. I've had every symptom of depression, anxiety, low mood, and just the shittiest mental health ever the whole week. Last Friday, I was ready to just pack it all in. Anyway, I got through the week, but the thing I need help with is, can you have days off? What do you expect if you just stop in the way of symptoms? How do you get that dopamine hit? P.S. Thank you for helping me make sense of myself, past, present and future. I owe everything I know about ADHD to you guys. Much love, Heart.
Thanks, Steph. How lovely.
Yes, there's a lot there, isn't there?
There is, but there's only one question.
That's
so
odd that they're silent.
There's only one quite simple to understand question, so...
No, there are loads of questions.
Tell me them.
Can you have dopamine?
Yeah.
What do you expect if you just stop in the way of symptoms? What can you do to get that dopamine hit?
You're right. I take it back. I wasn't paying attention to the second half. God damn.
Yes. So that's odd that their psychiatrist told them that they could. I mean, I do sometimes have days off, usually because I forget to take them. But I do go a bit to shit during that time.
We should have saved that for the top tip, shouldn't we? Not do it. It'll be fine.
For high school.
You're right. Yeah, I know. You're right. I meant tips in general. It's just because it's very, very poor advice. Borderline, like.
Oh, right. Okay.
So at some point, are we going to try and answer this, do you think?
Yeah, very, very quickly. Do not listen to anybody that isn't your psychiatrist about your mental health diagnosis.
This was his psychiatrist.
No. I mean, we cannot and will not give advice, and nobody else should either. So anything we say, we can talk generally about the science, but we cannot talk about what Steph should do or why. You know, if she agrees, and it is partly a philosophical decision about medication holidays, as they call them, with her mental health support team, that she's going to implement medication holidays, then that is a decision for those groups, because they know the information that we do not have. It is inappropriate and borderline criminal to comment on somebody's psychiatric treatment. Having said that, apart from you, Sam, but then you've got massive insurance, presumably. None at all. Having said that, the decision to take medication holidays is not backed up by science either way, because they haven't done it. In children, there's a little bit, but in adults, none. I've looked. There is no evidence of a major negative effect, but side effects like the one you've said, Steph, are true when you start ADHD meds and true when you stop, and some of them get them, some of them don't. So it's a very individual and personal, almost philosophical decision. The strict rules are don't take medication holidays with mental health guidance from a professional, and I mean a doctor, that can be changed. So what a psychiatrist saying is okay if you agree, but I would absolutely write this down and go back to them straight away, you know, and have that conversation. This is what you need to do in this instance, to go back and say these things. No, you go, please.
I was just going to say, I think the main thing is that it obviously hasn't worked for them. So
no, we can't even say that. No, we can't even say that. There might be a confounding variable. We don't know whether the two effect, if the two things are linked, do not know. Yeah. And we can't say anything about this individual case. We just don't know. There could have been grief. There could be the onset of perimenopause. It could have been a car accident you've forgotten about. We just don't know. Or just general, you know, cyclic mood. We never and should never do it with that. It's a conversation with your doctor. Sorry, Sam.
That's okay.
No, it was a bit, it's dead strict. I just don't want to get the arse sued off us.
I don't think that many people listen that we're going to get sued, but carry on.
James, you're the lawyer.
He's not. Your wife is.
Oh, yeah. God. I'll go now.
Fact.
Yeah.
Can I add something?
Very much like to, I don't know. I'd be careful.
everybody. In the last 6 months, most of us have had to take a medication holiday because of the medication shortage.
That's true.
And
that's
what I think is really interesting is Alex is right. There isn't evidence either way. Nobody's looked at it. What a fucking open goal this has been in the last 6 months to quickly get some ethics and say, right, let's have a look. Let's have a look and see what happens when medication is withdrawn from adults with ADHD, because it's happened to pretty much fucking all of us.
Yeah.
And whether that's... whether that's mid-titration, then you suddenly stop. Whether you're fully titrated and you can get some week, or you're reducing your dose, or you're stopping taking them for 2 months. Many of us have had to take medication holidays in the last 6 months because of this shortage. And, you know, we're all different. So some people, you know, that I coach and speak to have really struggled in terms of symptoms. Yeah. Other people have not really noticed that much of a difference. And we are all very different. But for me, that's the thing I find fascinating, that what a fucking open goal, what a missed opportunity to actually do some research into medication holidays.
Really, yeah, really good point. Good spot. I have one, but I go to shit as well if I take a medication day off.
Yeah, I still do it. Though. I still like doing it.
Me too. It's just different, isn't it? I don't know what. I often think that was a poor choice, Alex.
And actually, my pole teacher recently said to me, "Have you been taking your meds?" And I went, "No." And he went, "How many times do you have to?" He said, "You go through this cycle, and I have to go through it with you. You're shit. You don't take your meds." And I'm like, "I know, but I keep checking, because what happens is I feel really good and think, do you know what? I think I'm just better now. I don't think it's the meds.
Absolutely,
I'm just better at life now."
And I often go, "Oh, why am I feeling? What's wrong with you today? Oh, you can do one, can't you, James, without sounding rude. You can take one without really having a major effect a day. Is that right? I think you said that.
Ding. Yeah, no. Sometimes, honestly, sometimes if I forget to take my meds, I do question whether they work or not, because
they definitely do.
I know that I've realised this now, because I've not been taking the 20 milligram top ups, and this is kind of a separate thing I'd like us to talk about at some point, but I had a chat with Nick Brent for the other day about, we're all exhausted. Everyone I know is exhausted and close to burnout. And somebody I coach had said, do the stimulants mask exhaustion? And I thought, oh, that's an interesting question. I spoke to Nick and he said, absolutely, of course, they're stimulants. So for a lot of people, taking stimulant medication is, at least during the day, giving you, if you like, a mask for the fact that you're exhausted. And then particularly with the medication breaks people have had to take because of the medication shortage, it's possible that's the reason now that lots of people are suddenly reporting they're in burnout or they're exhausted, because taking a stimulant has been hiding the fact that we are, you know, close to burnout.
Is that even for people like, you know, that they make me a little bit sleepy? But is it? Would it still be the same for me?
It's complex. Yeah, it's complex. In the same conversation, when Nikki said something really interesting, which was, in his opinion, most people, even after titration, are not properly medically managed. And if Nick's listening to this, and I misrepresented your words, Nick, apologies. But for example, we know that methylphenidate in some people improves sleep. So, but because it's a stimulant, it's counterintuitive to say, take a 10 milligram quick release an hour before bed. Yeah. And for some people, actually, that turns off the racing thoughts and helps them sleep. But instead, it's no, take them in the morning, because otherwise it will impact your sleep. So there's just not effective post-titration medication management for a lot of people.
And you must have therapy with the meds. It says so on the meds leaflet, and nobody gets that. You know, they're not on their own a cure in any way. They just help a bit. Yeah. So if you're going to be burnt out, you're going to be burnt out. Are you on stimulants or not?
Shall we move on to the next question? As podcast
I've just substituted it for Alex. And Alex, you're welcome, because I love this one.
All right, then. I haven't read it then. Good. So it's from Christian Pettersson, and it says, what is the fucking point, really, eh? That's a great way to start a letter. It says, don't say therapy, don't say medication, don't say keep on paddling in the shit, big man. It might become infinitesimally less bollocks sometime in the future. I've been there, seen them, bought the t-shirts and worn them until they're threadbare. Just give me something, anything that isn't completely hunting shit about the whole fucking shitstorm. Oh, I'm really sorry about that, Christian. I thought of something only yesterday that was bloody... actually maybe positive about having ADHD in general. I've forgotten it. I'll have to give it some thought. I'm sure there's something. I wrote it down there, just not here. Because I thought that might be one. That might be something. Is that something? That's something, isn't it?
This is, I mean, Christian, I feel that very deeply. Obviously, there are those in our community that have a different experience and will see the positives or have positives for whatever reasons. I'm not criticizing that. That's their lived experience. But the whole reason we started this and the charity and everything else was for people like Christian, for people like us that don't necessarily find the positive, that it is an impairment for, and that sometimes, particularly when you're in those low periods, it just feels like, what, it's going to be this now for the rest of my life. And it is a really challenging thing. And that's why I sometimes get overly annoyed with the toxic positivity which exists around ADHD, which I think has two negative impacts. The first is for the people who are struggling, as we've said, it says to them, you know, well, go on, work out what your strength is. Can you not even do that? And makes them feel like a failure at ADHD. And the slightly more insidious thing it does is people who don't have ADHD are all of a sudden hearing about it. And if they hear from some people, it's a strength, it's a superpower, then they might start saying, well, why do they get more support in the workplace? Why are we paying more for these people to get medication? Why do you even need a diagnosis if it's a superpower? Because you can just be better at stuff. And I think that it damages the argument that people with ADHD actually need support in the workplace, in relationships, for their mental health. It is shit for a lot of us. It's not shit for all of us. And Christian, I'm so sorry that the minute it's shit for you.
Yeah, it's. I was thinking the other day, because I've been really, really desperately low and exhausted just recently. And I was thinking, I'm just fed up of this, like every day just getting shit wrong and doing stuff badly all the time. And I just thought, no, you've got to remember, actually, that even like yesterday, you felt all right and you felt all right earlier. But even that was depressing me, because I'm just thinking, it's just a fucking endless cycle of, oh, I think I'm all right. No, I'm not. I'm fucking shit and everything's. And it's just exhausting that every day it feels like a battle just to remember where my phone is and remember to take my meds and remember to brush my teeth. And there's just all these fucking things all the time. And it just does feel exhausting. But the only good thing about my ADHD is that I can forget it all, and when it's in the moment when I do feel happy, I've forgotten all the badness. But it is just fucking exhausting. I'm completely with you, Christian. It just seems never ending, because I think with most medical things, you find out there's something wrong with you and you think, right, what can I do to cure that? And you can't cure this. It's just you.
Can I suggest something for Christian? And this might be not inappropriate, but it might be, I don't know, pointless. One of the things that really helps is not being isolated. And often we are isolated. Yeah. So if you've not found your tribe, if you've not found your people, if you don't have a lot of people around you that understand you and can support you, sometimes finding that can help. If there is a local support group, I've been chatting to ADHD Connect in Liverpool, who actually support, I've got 600 members across the Northwest. It's a brilliant charity that supports people in that area, and they have lots of face-to-face meetings, and there are support groups dotted around the country. Sometimes
I've got a list of them on the charity website. Sorry,
brilliant. Brilliant. Sometimes
we're talking about something here. Can you keep it there?
Sometimes just having that support and sharing the experiences that a lot of us have, it doesn't make it better, but sometimes it just eases a bit of the pain and allows you to feel seen.
It does make it better as well. I know you don't want to say that because you don't offer too much, but only a few days ago, I was having a genuine emotional problem about something, and I shared it with two daft bastards. and just hearing that I wasn't an idiot for feeling that way was unbelievably liberating. And I needed it, and didn't actually realise that I was getting support from a network. I was just telling two daft tits.
And actually, it is that shitness, that shared shitness, that bonds us and makes us feel closer. And it's kind of beautiful in a way.
You didn't even
ice cream man's coming around this time of year. That's insane.
Blimey hell, is it warm over there in
Blighty? No, it's not. It's not. No,
they sell drugs in where you live. Don't they? It's simply selling.
I'll be back in a minute.
99 bags of ketamine, please.
Anyway, I'm going to move us on to the last question can finish and I can have a poo. This is from Steve, and it says, I went to my local GP in August with a right to choose form already filled in, which is good advice, and spoke to the doctor about wanting an ADHD referral, etc., which she was more than happy for me to have. Today I received a letter saying my referral has not been accepted. The letter said, screening tool AQ10 ARS not complete. Not enough information regarding the impact of suspected autism or ADHD. This new news is totally devastating for me, and I now feel lost and I don't know what to do next. Do you have any advice?
Jesus Christ.
You've got to go back.
Yeah.
I'm afraid it's happening.
Keep fighting. It's shit. Yeah. And this happened to me. It's shit. You have to keep fighting, unfortunately. And just try and see different GPs. Try and speak to the practice manager.
Show them that letter.
what left?
That you, the one that you've that we've just read. Because if I gave that to my GP, I'd be. I don't think it. I think it says the GP was supportive, and they've said no, and the GP will be really. I think it's, if I was a GP, I'd be really happy to read that I was supportive, and then be angry that they didn't get it. So if you can't hold those thoughts in, take that letter with you and show them how it feels, because it is awful.
Yeah.
I interrupted with like impulse then, Sam. I was embarrassed immediately.
No, it's good in a way though, because I don't think I'd understood it properly, because I thought it was the GP that had said that. But you're right; they'd been referred, and then.
Yeah, the GP was happy with it. And Steve, I should point out that the data suggests that people who think they have identified ADHD in themselves as adults and go to a GP, and if the GP agrees and refers them, at that point, it's approximately 97% likely that a psychiatrist would also agree that you had ADHD. So this isn't really out of the question.
It's saying it's not complete, though. So can you give us a bit more information?
Yeah,
surely that's if you've got ADHD, if you haven't fucking completed the form properly.
And maybe this needs a positive lens here, Steve. Maybe you haven't been kicked off. Maybe they are literally asking for more information. I don't know. But you need to go back to your GP, and I would take this letter you sent us with you.
It sounds though that like they need to go to the right to choose provider rather than their GP, because the GP has been supportive, but the right to choose provider has said. Right,
yeah, it could be.
Yeah, so they need to go back to them, to their customer service team. I know it's really fucking difficult, but yeah.
Oh, I see. I would go
to both, actually, because the GPs can also contact the provider and request an
explanation. Double admin.
Exactly, yeah.
I know. It's shit. That's shit, Steve. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Jeez. On that note, that was episode 162 of the ADHD Hours podcast, where we talked about ADHD and high school in all caps education for some reason.
High school.
If by miracle you're still listening at this point, I'm not entirely sure why, but you can get in touch. You can leave a review, hopefully not about me undermining Alex's perfect and pure heart, because that's what's been happening recently, because obviously I'm evil and terrible person. And you can find more content, etc., Patreon, etc., something something website, something something, the adhadults.uk. We'll see you soon. Bye bye.
Bye.
Bye all. Trigger warning, klaxon. Klaxon, 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 big klaxon.
Trigger warning, klaxon. Klaxon, 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 klaxon. So I turned up for Paul yesterday.
Ding.
It took me ages to get there because I was on campus, and I thought, why have I booked this today? Because it's just a really inconvenient time to have it. So I had to battle through traffic. There was something going on in Smethwick. And then I got to a road and there was a lorry parked across the end of the road. So then I had to find another way to get to Pole. And then I got there late and I'm banging on the door and he wasn't answering. And I kept banging and banging. And then I sent him a message saying, can you fucking let me in? And he opened the door and I didn't give him time to speak. And I just barreled in and I was like, oh my God, there was a lorry and blah blah, and oh, you've done some painting, da, da, da. And I'm just chatting away like this, and went to put my coat in and came back out, and he went, you know, I'm always really happy to see you, Sam, but you don't have a lesson today. It took me a fucking over an hour to get there, and then I had to just drive back, and he said you came in so confidently and just pushed past me. He said somebody was banging on the door, and I was thinking, who the fuck is that? And he said I was just doubting myself and thinking, should I cancel the client that I've actually got in, because she seemed really confident, I must have got it wrong. But no, I just got the day wrong, so that was fun.